got it. We're live.
The stream is live.
Holy shnikes. Well, you know what? Let's make a podcast. Thank the light, everyone. I am your I lost all the words. I speak for a living and I lost all the words. I'm your very content Sedai. And this is my wolf brother.
And I will be your winter's fucking hair Sedai. Move to Spokane. I can handle the cold. What the fuck? No, it doesn't bother me, but man, it's been cold here.
Yeah, got
it. Woke up this morning, let the dogs out, and was like, it's -2 degrees. Fuck.
Wow. Is that a normal? It's a,
you know, like, what? You
I know
what
like it's though? Cold.
It's a dry cold, though. Yeah, it's different.
It's dry as fuck and it's cold as balls. But that's, even for Spokane, that's pretty cold, -2, right? Like, that's not a... I mean, I know it gets in the 20s and 25s.
It will get colder. It can get colder. I've seen it talked about, you know, -10, and it'll be that way for a couple of days. And
wow. Now.
Yeah, it can get dangerous over here, I think, if you, like, lose power or stuff. They're really on it about that kind of shit, so...
I didn't realize Spokane was West Montana.
Yeah, I mean, it's West Montana, Idaho.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised. It's like,
you can go across the panhandle in like an hour and a half, apparently. I think it's exactly
60 miles. I think I-90, yeah. I think there's exactly 60 miles. Or no, maybe it's 100. It's a weirdly exact number. Like, you know that there was federal dollars involved because it was like Idaho was like, or the government or Idaho.
Like one of those things that you just decide, maybe we're going to change this to the Gulf of America. And, you know, because, you know, I do what I want.
Hey. So Lake Coeur d'Alene is now a Canadian province. It's okay.
I mean, if we're making trades like that, can we just like annex like most of Washington? I'll be Canadian. I have no problem.
I mean, they can have North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin. I mean, the Green Bay Packers could be the first Canadian NFL team. I'm cool with that.
We'll take the upper part of Michigan, the Uper.
The Uper, we'll Uper Michigan.
Yeah, Canada will take that. The Uper.
I got one thing to say to you, Fatty. Wop, wop, wop,
wop. Fuck the Chiefs. Fuck the Chiefs. I didn't even really, I was working that day. So real quick, I was working that day and I'm like, you know what? If both teams could lose, it'd be fucking great. It's like, I don't have nothing against the Eagles. It's just East Coast. I like Jalen Hurts. I really wanted the Raiders to drop Jalen Hurts. So good job, guys.
Yeah.
I was like, I said, I was like, I don't care. But I kind of like, we went and grabbed these shelves and then I kind of took a peek at the score. I was like, I'm going to watch the second half. This should be fun. I don't know, Lisa's doing something and I was sitting there and that play where he kind of goes to throw it deep and gets his arm just straightened out and then poof, like double fisted right in the face. And I was just like laughing maniacally. And she's like, what the fuck are you laughing at? Was it a good commercial or something? I'm like, haha, not Patrick Mahomes just got hit in the face. And it was almost like, we're going to let this one go because everyone thinks we're cheaters. The refs are cheating for us.
Yeah.
That's the one you should have called. He got hit in the face.
There were so many bad calls that's in not that legal. Game, both directions, but it doesn't matter. When you lose by 30, it doesn't, like, no one talked about the bad calls on Monday.
If the refs
call
a shitty game on both sides of the ball, I'm fine with that. I come from baseball and you figure out each fucking umpire strike zone within the first inning and a half. And if you don't want to throw the ball there, you're going to walk a lot of people. It's just, you know, you got to see how they're calling the game and then play it that way. And as long as they're fucking shit calls on both sides, I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
But it's like when it seems to be, you know, like, you're like,
it's like,
and I've just seen the Raiders be on too many, and not so much in recent years because they're a more disciplined team. So it's harder to just be like, They did that. but I've, you know, I've been a Raider fan for fucking 45 years. I've seen a lot of being like,
he literally snapped
his leg after the whistle. No penalty?
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. All right.
Whatever, man. I guess you guys figure that people owe some people for Lazado or something. I don't fucking know.
Hey, you know what? You're the reason the Seahawks lose a timeout when someone gets hurt. That's the Raiders' fault. That is the Raiders' fault.
So many rule changes. Hey, and you know what? We got one of the biggest cheaters in recent memory as part of our ownership group. Let's go, TV12.
Hell yeah.
You get us a Super Bowl, bro, I'll forget the fucking tuck rule and everything else. Ooh, Tom Brady? You mean my hero? Yeah. Yeah.
That I was thinking ring, about getting a fucking, that eighth ring's was, got a Raider on it, babe. That eighth bro, ring's got an eye patch on it.
This is it. The internet is unique, bro. If that happens, I will get a custom made Brady jersey with a 12 on it.
Ooh.
Vegas Raiders. If he gets us a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Ooh,
I'm in.
That would be dope. A Vegas Raiders number 12. I'd rock that.
Yeah, all day.
All around.
Especially if we get a ring, I'd be like, let's fucking go. I've represented us when Jamarcus Russell was our quarterback.
Yeah. Justin's been hanging in there a long time, folks.
A long time. Leaning into the Canadian with the cheap R&R whiskey.
Yeah.
Bro, it's R&R. Like $3 for a half pint, bro.
Oof.
I want to drink, but I still have goals that I need to accomplish.
I want to get drunk and buy shit. That's what I want to do. What?
I'm actually really excited. Did you?
Yeah.
Am I reading that right? He's going to be here for not one, not two, but possibly three episodes?
I'm pretty sure that after I sent you the text, I realized I might have read that wrong, but he'll at least be here for two. He'll be here for the second half of season two, Fan Edit, and he wants to be here for the...
For the predictions?
For the predictions, but possibly...
Fuck yes, dude.
Yes, everybody, stay tuned. Get on your... The editor, Wolf Fan Edit, I don't know his name because he's keeping that shit wrapped up. He will be here. I will be posting on social media if you've been watching me post. I will. He should be here the next 3 weeks. He may not be here next week. I apologize, but he's coming. He'll be here the following 2 weeks, almost for sure. I mean, he's 12 hours away and shit happened. So I don't want to make any promises that aren't mine to keep. And I'll keep social media tight. But if you want to ask the editor questions, come on here and join us.
Yes. And I'm hoping to, who knows, with things that happen, if I'm going to be able to have time to, I want to watch the edit and I want to try to watch the episodes again because there's just a few things I noticed. Like when Rand is kind of, accepting his dragoness when he's shooting, he kind of talks with Egwene and then he shoots some arrows and then he goes talks to Min right afterwards.
Yeah.
When he's having his little, like, kind of like you can hear the Machin Shin kind of in his head and he's kind of having some flashbacks. I didn't get a chance to watch that, but maybe you can enlighten me. Did he switch any of those flashbacks around or were those there in the original cut? Because I feel like he did this thing that, like, you know, when they're in the world of dreams, he kind of accentuated that, like, kind of like almost like old school movies when you were skipping fucking, you couldn't record it so fast. So you're like, people would move like kind of like choppily.
Like a flip book.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Like a flip book. And so, I feel like when they went to the world of dreams, like when he went there and like Perrin's there and Balsamon grabs Egwene, you know, and Matt keeps saying something and kind of just walks past him and doesn't see him. He really accentuates that kind of like stutter stop motion. But I couldn't remember if it was that dramatic in the actual cut of the show on Amazon or if he kind of accentuated it. Because I thought that I remember seeing it in the show, not thinking that it was enough of a dream. You know what I mean? Like obviously it was a dream, but it seemed very real. And I know that they were trying to convey that, you know, the world of dreams can be very real because you can die in it and stuff. But I feel like him doing that gives you a little bit, or I don't know if he did it or not. Maybe I just...
Well, was that the only time you noticed it?
No, I noticed it when Rand was doing his little dream sequence thing and saw everybody. And then I noticed it when he was shooting arrows and having the flashbacks in his head.
Because it's not the editor's fault, but I have a lot of technology working to get my edit onto my big screen TV. So I get a little stuttering anyways, just with the upscale and all that. So I don't know that I could have or would have noticed the difference.
It seemed very obvious to me watching the editor's cut, you know? But like I said, I didn't get a chance to rewatch these to see how dramatic, if it was, you know, just slowed down or anything like that. I feel like it was. But also after watching the first one, like I was noticing things because I didn't have to suffer through Egwene getting thrown in the river and other stuff like that. So I was I was able to, instead of spending 5 minutes rolling my fucking eyes, going like, what? What are we doing here?
And now, like, we're going to talk about the dumb scene.
Like, you and I don't write movies or anything, but like we are such movie people. Like we probably could have been if we would have like tried to lean into that early in our lives.
Oh, totally.
But like
totally.
You and I could be continuity motherfuckers on movies a lot too, because we used to just get stoned and fucking watch movies and go, no, you especially are really good at that. I'm more about dialogue. You're more about like, oh, look, that lightsaber toy wasn't there. behind you in this one, and then that bag was on the other side, and then, like, you know what I mean? So
Meth, you're killing me with the toothbrush.
Exactly, dude. Exactly. Meth, you're killing me with the toothbrush. That is fucking hilarious.
Exactly. But, like, that kind of stuff, I don't know if it was, I was able to just kind of notice it more because I wasn't annoyed at other things that were happening.
Yeah.
Or if he actually did kind of ramp it up a little bit. I feel like he ramped it up a little bit, especially for that second one. But well, I want to really keep an eye. Long story short, as I've fucking talked for 20 minutes, I want to try my hardest to watch the episodes, like not one to one, but, you know, try to do first
get
four
through
and
both
then watch
of them. Get through both of them before.
Because
we...
I want to ask him certain things, because he did say he kind of chopped and screwed this a little bit more than the first one, moving stuff around. Yeah. And shit like
because
that.
Like
so.
You said that, I think he, I think, because when the Machin Chin happened in the ways, I was like, because me and Kelly were both pretty tired. And like, I don't want to totally like make her hate this because I'm overselling it. So I'm like, I'm pretty cool.
I'm probably going to be stuck on this for like 5-6 more years, maybe. So
yeah. Yeah. If you want to know anything, ask me, but I'll try not to force it on you. But when they went in, I was like, listen, like she was letting the dogs out. I was like, listen.
This part's
and
important.
And then it happened so fast. I was like, oh, that wasn't as dramatic as I thought. Cause I was like, oh, they didn't even mention the fucking dragon. Like how high am I? And then he does it. So did the editor move Rand's vision completely out of the first Machin Chin to when he was shooting the arrows? Or am I just misremembering?
I think he might've cut it short, or maybe just like, because there was a bunch of things, you know, every time someone popped up, and I think there would be like, I think they cut it down a little bit and then move some of it. But then I thought that he added the visions in it, because originally it's just him shooting arrows and it's saying stuff, but there he put in images and stuff. So
well, I think he I just like, took the scene. He took
yeah, but he moved Rand, it there in right, between, like right. It was like a little cut scene in Rand's head, you know. And I think so many things like that made it land so much better. Like, it's like I said, it's still not perfect, but like, oh my God, it is so much more easily. And I actually forgot, Lisa did watch that with me, and she was like, oh, it was way better watching it in like a movie format like that. Like, he did a great job.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to watch, because I watching this, I'm like, man, season one was pretty fucking good. And I'm like,
yeah,
calm down, dude.
So I had last week, zero problems, nothing. It was. The first half of the edit was flawless. I literally wouldn't change a frame. I had some issues with the second half. I'm gonna need you to help me figure out, because talking about us nerding out about movies, because remember, we would always watch the bonus scenes and we would always watch the deleted scenes, and we would always be like, how the fuck can you take that scene out? That's so funny. That is hilarious. Why would you take that out? But then you actually think about watching the whole movie with that scene in there, and you're like, oh, that would be a little
it's
boring.
Funny, where would you put it so it made sense and didn't like grind the plot to a halt?
Yeah, so but here's the two things, or at least two things that I had issues with. The rod, I think the rod is gonna matter. I think
the oath rod
is going, I think Moraine's gonna do some shit that is only going to make sense if we know that, because there's some shady shit going on with that oath rod that they're not telling us, but it's going to matter. Like, Moraine is getting away with some shit in the next season or two because of what happened with that oath rod.
My thoughts are wondering if they altered her stuff enough to be just deceptive enough, but maybe not lie. I'm sure that we'll be giving Rafe too much credit for that. My thought with it is that later on in the books, there is something that happens with the oath rod in proving your this might be a little spoilery, so tune out if you don't want to hear that, if you are actually listening to us. They do something later in the books that they figure out a way to use it to be like, okay, we're gonna remove all oaths that you have, and we're gonna make you re-swear on the oath rod, and then we're gonna interrogate you. Like, it's like a oath rod, goddamn, I've watched so much true crime, fucking what is the word I'm looking for? Lie detector test. It is called a polygraph. Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
Sorry. So it's like an oath rod kind of polygraph. So it's like, basically they will remove any oath like that says that you can be deceptive and hide your oaths to the dark one or whatever. And then make you re-swear the three oaths, and then don't let you go anywhere and go, okay, are you a dark friend? And then they little physically cannot, they have to say, yeah, I'm a dark friend. Yeah.
because they haven't had the time to figure out their lie around it.
Exactly. Like or just have the dark one, I believe, can kind of just cut those O's, because when you swear an oath to him, then that like supersedes it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if, because of the tower coup and stuff like that, that some of that stuff is going to come way forward in the show, because they're going to need to be like, are you a good Aes Sedai? Are you a bad Aes Sedai? And so they had to introduce the Oath Rod in a way where you could see it and see what they were doing. That's my thought.
So it's not in the edit. So if it cut, like,
oh, that's what you're saying. Okay, I got you. It is not in the edit at all. That's true. She does not her bow.
Yeah,
it's not in the edit,
and then it's done. And maybe the conversation, I can't remember the conversation she had with Suan later that night. Maybe that covers it enough to like, but that might be a scene. Like, I don't think he'll have to go back to season one and put it back in, but he might have to grab that scene and make it like a cold open.
Well, and if I'm not mistaken, I think he may have done some things like that. He said that he was pretty aggressive with what he did.
Yeah,
like we'll I could be talking out my ass and think about something else, but I feel like he was like, might have even used some like deleted scene stuff to slide in. I'm not sure. Like, I'm gonna just go put headphones on and probably start watching the second one tonight, maybe.
Nice,
because I got fucking nothing else to do. So,
so that one, and then the other. Hang on,
Get it while it's fresh, because I just got jokes.
Yeah.
So.
maybe it was just the, what was the other thing I had a real beef with? All right, you tell a couple jokes. I'll try to figure it out. Oh, no. It was something you said. So off, you said, maybe I'm giving Rafe too much credit. I think Rafe has a really good we might not think it's a good plan, but I think he's got a plan. The problem with Rafe is he's like...
He gets a little too cute for his own good, you know? Like, well, he thinks that like some of the book readers are like, they'll love this, and it's like, oh...
But if you have some Easter egg in the first season that you're planning on opening in the fourth season, you gotta fucking get there. Like, you gotta, like, we can't see your vision. And if you don't give us enough early on, you're not gonna get those later chances. So like, if you wanna change things and get weird, that's fine. But you gotta drop things in to keep it good now. And then you could open those eggs down the line.
Yeah, you can't just like play the long game and hope. You've got to like, I get it, but you have to make sure it gets there, right? Like I said, you can't. And that's one of the things, it's like you said with the time jumps. It's like, how much are we doing? Are we doing it because we're fucking desperate and we got to just do this and we're going to have this huge expedition dump? You know, I don't know. Yeah. I've been kind of trying to say, and I, like I said, I'm just going to do like a speed round of my page of notes, jokes,
cool.
Stupid stuff. And
sounds
then, because I haven't watched the trailer at all, so I do want to watch it, even though
neither have I.
Jeremy said it's awesome. He said it's awesome.
Everybody, he's not here to defend himself. I can't tell from his text what his tone of voice is. Jeremy said it's awesome.
Jeremy said it's awesome. I can't tell that it was sarcastic at all. So,
it wasn't italicized.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first. Jeremy of the Thank the Light.
Jeremy Gaines.
Of the Thank the Light podcast with Desmond McNeese and his cousin, Patty the Chef, says this season 3 is based on the trailer today that came out. It's going to be great.
I think his exact...
He said, we're going to love it.
I think he said, it's bonerific, I think is what... Jeremy said bonerific.
Yeah. Jeremy said he has an actual erection for it. So he's like, I did not. You know, he's going crazy right now. He's like, I did not.
This is how we get him on the show. He'll be here next week, folks.
Yeah. He said, quote unquote, you can't read that. He's like, you will be so pumped.
I know. I can't. There's my phone's right here. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, what he did send is go, wow, I just watched it, the season 3 trailer. And then he sent us the emoji of Team America World Police as a dude just vomiting uncontrollably. And I said, I'm not going to buy it. I haven't watched it yet. And he goes, it's so good. I was like, I knew it, you a-hole. I was like, you need to bring these gems to the pod, brother.
Yeah. Jeremy's got his own life that he's trying to live. So I try not to give him too much shit, but I really want him here for the prediction, folks. That's what
he's
I'm gonna.
He's a fucking empty nester. Quit being a loser. Okay, so speed round. Justin's Fatty's dumb notes. So a couple good one-liners. If I wanted a man, I could do better. Goddamn right.
Yes.
And then the bartender, she's like, if you don't think I get drunk on the job, say, I know she's a dark friend. It's my kind of gal is all I'm saying.
That's from last week. You bringing up jokes from last week?
I just caught it this week, so shut up.
Oh, did you
by
not
the time
quite
we get to the end of the show, like we were at the end of the 2 hours, and so by the time we get to the end of the podcast of the 2 hours, I forget stuff.
Yeah.
So I went back a little further and got it. You see Tom sliding out his knife when Matt is kind of messing with the Aeolian. So that's a big clue. Like Tom is a friend. He's might as well be a fucking sushi chef. He's a fan of knives. But yeah. Matt is as well, especially as the time goes on. Matt starts stashing knives all over and becomes really good at throwing them. So I love that. I do hope we get to see some action that way. That'd be cool. Tom explains Aiel Vales in a way that, you know, Jeremy would be proud of. You know, so it literally kind of nullifies like what she does, you know. And you know what? I'm just going to get you, fucker. You can't defend yourself, bitch. She was originally a wetlander. So she would have a little bit less of a hard time showing her face to somebody.
Okay.
When you're born that way and it's indoctrinated from you from the very day you were born and you were a maiden from you wanted to be a maiden from the time you were 8, you're taking that fucking veil off and you kill. If you were a highborn lady until you almost went and died in the waist and you're pregnant, you know, you might be like, what the fuck? I can't breathe. Just saying.
I buy it.
Jeremy, I can't hear your response.
What are you?
Did you mute your mic?
Jeremy, pull over. Jeremy, pull over. I don't want you to get in an accident.
Yeah. Use the voice text option.
We got to hurry up before Siri tells us to go to bed.
My first note this week, where's the baby?
where's the baby? Fuck you, Desmond.
I know.
But again, you know, they throw Matt's fucking goodness. I'm like, I get it. Desperation, it's proudness. He's going to go steal that Aiel's, you know, amethyst in his pocket. He finds the little stone dog carving, which is one of the Aiel seps. Those are the opportunities. It's like, ah, that's cool for someone like me that just fucking, you know, knows everything about this or not knows enough about it to be like, oh, that's cool. He's probably a stone dog. You know, but like most people are like, oh, cute dog figurine in your pocket. You know, like that's an example of rape just being like, oh, dude, fucking stop jerking yourself off about how great your ideas are and just do something that means something to even someone who's never seen the show or never read the books, you know?
Okay. Justin?
Yeah.
This just in.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Gaines just sent me a text.
Uh-oh.
Please read this on the show. The Wheel of Time TV show is a steaming pile of trash. If it were freezing to death in the snow, I wouldn't take a hot tub on it so that it could use the meter warmth from my poo to keep it alive 1 second longer. This new trailer does nothing to change that. I award it no points, and may God have mercy on its soul. Love you guys.
All I heard is that he loves it. I think he said, how do you finish it? I love it, you guys. Is that what he said? I love it, you guys. That's what I heard.
I love it, you guys. I love you guys.
My reading comprehension, a little sketchy. Never took SATs. So,
oh my God.
At least he's contributing.
I wish I had the time. I wish I had the time I used to really over edit this podcast so I could really put in some dramatic reading of that.
It was pretty good. I'm not gonna lie. It was off the top. It was pretty. It was like a one take, you know.
The Wheel of Time TV show is a steaming pile of trash. If it were freezing to death in the snow, I wouldn't take a hot dump on it so that it could use the meager warmth from my poo to keep it alive 1 second longer. This new
more Shakespearean
does nothing to change that. I award it no points, and may God have mercy on its soul.
At two, cousin. At two.
Oh, I love you guys.
I love it, you guys. I love it. All right, back to the not so lightning round.
Yes.
Matt is still a thief. You can see Rand's face. I really appreciated some of the small moments of Yosha's acting. You can see how he gets better. Like when she says something about Trollocs, he's like immediately like, ooh.
Yeah.
Most people don't just talk about Trollocs casually. Just saying. Let's see. Yeah, she like, there's so many cool things that I picked up. Like she's like, oh, I shouldn't have dressed so much like Egwene. I shouldn't have braided my hair. Even though, why did we have to invent that character? Whatever. Let's see. You see Rand's first channeling. I think it was a little bit more meaningful, but just the way that things were cut down around it. I know it wasn't like crazy, but again, I was able to notice so many smaller things that I wasn't busy rolling my eyes at other shit. Low gain stuff was really cool. That is not in the books. And I did like all of that. The conversations in the cave, the way he was shielded in his little cage, the way he kind of breaks out, all of that, the channeling. At one point you see Alanna channel, and her warders are standing in front of her, and she does some sort of a weave that would technically, you would think that would just kind of like, if this is the ground, where's my fucking camera at? If this is the ground, it just goes, but like,
yeah,
yeah.
It, she makes it to where the weave doesn't form until it's past her warders, and you can see it kind of go, kind of come together, like kind of through and around them, and then go. Stuff like that, I wasn't able to kind of focus on it. Like, that is very cool. That is a good mechanic. Their battle scenes are done really fucking well. It gave me kind of Game of Thrones vibe, not quite on that scale, but some of the beginning battles in Game of Thrones when they were smaller, like excellent, excellent lighting, choreography, fight stuff, the costumes, weaponry, everything looks really fucking legit. Let's see. And none of that was in the book. So none of that was really in the book. It's alluded to, but I thought that was one of the first things they added that I was like, that's good.
You want a real hot take?
Huh?
So this is going to take some explanation.
I don't like Loial.
As a character or the way he's portrayed or like we talk in book?
I think
TV
that,
show or both?
I
keep talking,
think,
I gotta pee.
I think that type of character plays, reads better in a book. Like, I think in the book he's interesting. And I do like, I'm really excited to watch him kick ass. I just think that character that's like, oh, humans are so, I forget humans are in a hurry. Oh, you humans are always, oh, like it's just one of those jokes, I think, that's going to really wear thin on camera. You know, I'm excited to watch him kick ass. I do like the idea of his character. I'm just not looking forward to seeing him constantly reminding us that humans are always in a hurry. Like, I know you age slower, but there are some things that are on a clock. Like the ending of the world isn't going to wait for your old.
Your life
slow
is
ass.
In danger, and you're really not going to alias. This is like the smallest one. It's a baby Kalendor.
Oh no way! Yeah. You'll shoot your eye out. You'll shoot your eye out.
Dude, we've been having tons of them, and I laughed so hard because I said that to Lisa. I go, don't get fucking poked in the eye like you got a Red Ryder. She's like, oh no. God, it's so fucking cold, dude. Jeez, I
dude, I haven't seen icicles. Like, I know that it's not real cold here, but I'm chilly. But
that's like one of the smallest icicles, bro. We've had some like as long as my arm.
That's the idea of seeing icicles again on hanging off my roof. Just like, I can't even. That's a different lifetime. So anyway, so I don't want to rag on Loial. And I know when I see him in battle, and I know I'm going to like him in some things. I just hope that at some point they realize that he doesn't have to beat us to death with his Ogierness.
I'm curious to see if once we rewatch this, the second one, if it, because he definitely is a little bit more and you get to see him fight. But even Nynaeve's like, yes, name seeing is in the ears. Can we fucking get to the fucking point? I mean, it's for sure a trope, but I mean, you know.
Yeah, hopefully they'll find a happy medium so it's not, we don't just hear the same shit.
And the farm scene is another one that like, they go to a couple different farms and they have a couple things happen. Nothing really like that. I don't hate it, but Matt like going and like puking and stuff. I know that they're trying to kind of like red herring bait and switch you with hint that he may be the one who can channel or whatever, but that just didn't land that well with me. So, and there's that whole scene, like, he's like, oh, I don't want to take your doll. And like, I don't love the way they kind of tried to make Matt the scoundrel. It's like,
do you think they knew
you don't
he
have
was
to
on
hit
his
you
way out
so much?
Do you think they knew he was on his way out already? And they were like, we got to make him real bad so we can save him and give him a reason to stay behind.
If they knew that he was on his way out that early, they would have fucking made the story better the second season as opposed to just fucking hacking his story up the way they did, is my opinion.
Well, that was episode 5, wasn't it? And he left in episode 6.
That's what I'm saying. Well,
I mean, that's 2 episodes. That's like 20 days of shooting.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know, dude. I just feel like it was one of those things, like maybe they were just trying to like, if we can just coax him along and he'll get back on board. But it's like, you know, you feel like he was going through some shit, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. I still, but, I, I haven't done a Google search in a while, but I still wonder what
I thought
the
he was going to be in some sort of like a horror movie. But then I kind of quit caring once Donald Finn got in because I thought he was really good. But I just, you could tell that they really had to like fucking cobble together a story to like, you know, even get him in, you know? So did you watch, actually speaking, since we're talking about Matt, did you watch the Matt trailer? Like the little teaser where Donald Finn that kind of does an interview like he's Matt?
No.
It's really short. You should look it up right now and I can read some stuff and then we can talk about it a little bit. So I'll finish my little non-lightning round. So there's some good things and bad things about the farm scene. I do like Matt like pointing out the fade in the shadows. The fight kind of little, like it's not really a fight. It's more like a little squabble, but seeing the way the fades move in the shadows and stuff, I thought that was really well done. I thought that was cool. I thought it really kind of, you know, certain things land great, right? Like that really lets you know some creepiness. Like anywhere there's a shadow, these motherfuckers can just pop up. And and they fight like a fucking ninja or, you know, whatever you think is the most badass, like hand-to-hand sword fighter around. They're awesome and they move like a snake. So I thought that scene had a lot of cool stuff to it, but some stuff that's kind of like, ugh. Let's see, where am I at? Like you see, like I said, you see Rand getting to like assess situations where he's almost got that like Jedi-ness. And that's something that kind of channelers kind of have. They don't really ever get into it, but it's just one of those things. It's like they talk about when you're holding the power, everything is amplified, right? Smells are stronger, sounds are more crisp and more distinguished, and you can see a little farther, your eyesight's better. That almost like Perrin's wolf brother enough, you know, everything is more heightened. So I think it's more like, I don't know, like a time slow thing almost, you know, like Max Payne or something. More than a Jedi thing, but it kind of has the same effect, right?
Sorry, I missed some of that. I had to switch my audio over.
That's okay.
To the other thing.
Did you watch it or are you on?
I don't think I found the right one. I can't. I Googled Donald Finn interview as Matt Cawthon.
Just go to YouTube and go to Matt Cawthon teaser trailer.
Okay.
Speaking of which, man, I was looking, I just hit Wheel of Time stuff on YouTube and we were like the fifth thing that popped up because of our video last week. And the other ones were like some of the bigger folks who have been on Wheel of Time since long before the show. And some of them were doing like a live show and it ended like 25 minutes before we started. So anybody who's, you know, kicking around wanting Wheel of Time stuff, we're here.
You come on here and be part of the show. All right. I'm going to switch. You talk to the fans. I'm going to listen to Matt.
Yeah. While he's finishing up with Matt, a couple of things about Perrin when he meets up with the traveling people, he just can't even fathom that they like wouldn't fight back. He's just like, well, what do you do? They're like, well, we die basically or run. Like that's their answer. He's like, what? I'm sorry. That's where I identify with Perrin. I'm just like, I mean, obviously if you're ever in that situation, everything's going to depend, but it's like, someone's like, you know, get on your knees, put your hands behind your back. Nope. You have to shoot me right here, motherfucker, in the face. And she gives her little, actually, you pointed out last week when he first gets to the traveling people that, you know, he kind of has a story that is similar to what Rand is getting in Rhaedan when the Aiel first kind of go against the way of the leaf to, because someone's, you know, their family's getting raped and murdered and killed. So still don't love Aram, you know, and hold on. I'm going to have to put, can you hear shit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, everyone, I just watched that Matt thing is awesome. I love, I don't know, that's just one of those things too. I just love seeing actors playing their character, doing interviews about they're like some real some real fourth wall shit there. So I think Justin can hear me. I'll be able to catch him up on it real quick. But I found it very interesting that I think the majority of Child Valda's trophies were red rate.
I know, because I saw a yellow and a brown, but I mean, the other ones look, you know, darker.
There
so.
Was three or four red ones there. Like there was a handful of reds. Like so, I mean, maybe the reds are more likely to come after him. So he's more likely to need to defend himself against reds. So maybe it's not that surprising, but I also feel like they're the, I don't know if they're the warriors is right, but they're just, they're badass enough that if I had to choose which ones to fuck with, it wouldn't be a red.
I think a majority of the reds are, I mean, that's not really fair, but I think there are more Black Aja reds because one of the main things of the Dark One is trying to find the dragons. So they can kind of just do that by being themselves, right? They can just go look for Menhu Channel. So, But Matt, you know, when you see him, you a couple things in there, you see him with the horn of Lear, and he's like, yeah, I blew the horn, but they're like, they're sketching a thing of him and stuff. So that's stuff that's not in the books, which could be fun, but Jeremy will probably hate.
I get that they didn't play it right. They didn't quite get the idea of a warder and how stoic and they really are. But I don't know. I feel like the whole seppuku thing, because your Aes Sedai died, I feel like that's important. And I don't know, maybe Moraine and Lan play it enough, just talking about the bond and turning the bond on and off, that we get the picture. But that was another thing that I was like, and again, I think the 15 minutes of footage is way unnecessary, but I feel like there could have been some way to put in just how painful it is to lose your Aes Sedai to a warder without dragging the movie to a halt. But
right. I mean, I think they convey it pretty well, but I think we'll see more of it too. You know, it's just one of those things. It's not so much seppuku as just madness. Most of the time, if they're given the chance, they'll just die in battle if their Aes Sedai dies, but he was saved by them, so he kind of just went about it his own way. Usually it's more like I'm going out and it's going to be violent.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's probably, if your Aes Sedai dies, if you're in the middle of a battle and your Aes Sedai dies, it's fucking kamikaze time. Like, I don't want to live anyways, so I'm just going to take 80 of you motherfuckers with me.
And you know what? If Rafe was being really smart, this is where like my inner Jeremy's coming out. The first scene that they cut out where they're chasing the guy who can channel and he's like, don't hurt him. She's like, oh, he's already mad because there's only one person there. All they have to do is, Owen, stop running. And that makes that scene so much more important because it's Tom's nephew.
Oh!
Because it's not Tom's nephew, but for the sake of the TV show, they should have made it Tom's nephew. If they're going to put that scene in there, make it Tom's nephew.
Yeah, why not?
Hey, let me know if you get any background noise.
Okay, yeah, that's all right. We're about done with our notes, and then we'll watch the trailer. And I get it, because it literally adds nothing to the story. It only exists to get you excited for season two. Cutting out the Sean Chan editor. Come on.
Oh, see, I didn't actually get all the way to the end. Did he not leave it in?
He did not leave, unless it's way, 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 way at the end, which I don't know why. I mean, I guess he could just do a series, but I think I even fast forwarded. I ended up making Kelly was so tired and wanted to go to bed. That was the second time I was like, you're not going anywhere. And I fired up Amazon Prime and showed her that trailer.
Stop. Wait 5 minutes. Let's see. I think I pretty much done with my notes. I kind of got through them too already. Let's see. One of the things that I'm pretty sure that he added was when the wolf comes out and they're escaping from the white clothes, he had some subtitles that says, run, brother. I don't think that's in the show.
I don't think it is either.
And I remember talking to him about it, but I fucking love that. I think that's super important because it'll still make you kind of go like, what? Yeah. But also, okay.
To know right away that like that parent isn't just hearing a dog issue a warning. He knows
right.
Exactly.
He's not just the wolf saying, get the fuck away from me. Or
yeah.
Whatever, you know, exactly.
Yeah. Go to the forest. We don't want you here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, and then like Moraine's little conversation with Leandra, and she's just like, walk away.
Yeah.
That was pretty gangster. Let's see. I think that's about all the notes I got.
I can't wait. I can't wait for the sea.
Oh, also, you said, where's the baby? I said, Roose Bolton would have eaten that baby.
I can't wait to see the CW show about Leandrin and Moraine going to the White Tower as teenagers. I will watch the fuck out of that show.
Having some schoolgirl shit. And then one of the things I really did kind of hate a lot is because they don't really have these conversations as much, but, you know, Egwene just being like, kind of like pledging her kind of undying loyalty to Rand. It's like, I mean, I guess they're trying to show it's like little, you know, young people's kind of folly or whatever, but it's just like, me gusta.
I don't know. I mean, they spend so much time in the books on how much those two love each other and have loved each other for so long that I'm fine with them rushing that somehow. So when they're forced to go different directions, we get how painful it is. Because at this point, we don't know. They're just two kids who went to high school together and made out after work. Like,
Yeah, and they think they're supposed to be together forever. So
yeah, like you come from a town, you come from a town of 500. Of course, you're going to get married. Like, what? Wait, Aaron's already married. Yeah. Matt's a scoundrel. Like, yeah, of course we're going to hook up.
The quarterback of the football team in my high school married the head cheerleader. So
there you go.
I don't know. Balls down a well, eyes go cross. Last note I have is a joke. It's like Moraine was. Pointing out like the Seven Towers, like, hey, this is where it lands from. It's sort of like Fenway Way or Bakersfield or something.
I got it.
Used to be cool. Now it's shitty.
I laughed so hard because I spent half an episode a year ago talking about how the White Tower is on an island that looks like a vagina.
Yeah.
When Kelly saw the White Tower for the first time, she goes, oh, look, a dick and two balls. Who saw that?
Get the fuck out of here.
Well, because you don't see it from the top. You just see this big white tower dick sticking out.
Oh, right. The TV show, not looking at it on a map. You're like, you couldn't be more wrong, dear.
Yeah, exactly. That's funny.
That's just a huge man in the boat.
That's a big man in a big boat.
All right, man.
Okay, so we're going to have to watch this whole... We can talk about it for 10 or 15 minutes, but if we keep...
No, let's just watch it.
If we keep pausing it, we'll never get through it.
Nope, no pausing. We're going to watch it straight through. It's 2 minutes and 42 seconds.
I can't believe how long it is. Like, that's not a teaser trailer. That's a fucking... Where did it go?
Yeah, well, we're not really going to get into it. I'm going to have a couple reactions in real time, but other than that, then it's going to be like sign-off time, I think, so...
Cool.
Right.
I lost it. Don't go anywhere.
For fuck's sake, Desmond, let me pour myself some Canadian fine whiskey.
All right, make it big.
Now the sobbing starts. Fantastic.
All right, let's do this. Ready to play?
Sink it. Tell me when to go.
Three.
On one or after one?
Three, two, one, go. Three, two, one, go.
Here.
The world is changing.
Who's that standing in the water? Ooh. Oh, bitch is channeling. Holy shit.
We are very synced up. I can hear yours in stereo.
So they're back in the... Oh, yeah. The need to run off. She will lose the last battle. Ooh, caught in the two rivers. Yeah.
Is Perrin getting his hair going?
Yeah. Oh, Mogadin. Who's that?
This zone's the last place anyone would ever look for it.
Ooh, Lanfear's back. Ooh, dude, that's a Mies right there. That's straight out of one of the things.
Premier fantasy.
Oh,
series.
You see the Rand's dragon?
Yeah.
You see the golden dragon on his arm? Fuck, you look shit.
Oh.
Ooh, that was one of the rings. You see that?
In the what?
Yes. The rings.
Oh, the rings, yes. Rand dies.
And the animals. Is if I die? Wow, so cool.
We don't win battles with politics and off-season.
Yes. We win the armies.
That's Gawain and Galad, so hopefully we get Matt fighting
him. Well, the Matt trailer shows him picking out his staff.
It shows him picking out a quarterstaff? Is it in that same place?
I'm pretty sure. Because he's looking he's looking at the swords, and then he grabs something else.
I swear to God. If that's done right, I'll fucking forgive everything. Fuck you, Jeremy. You better too, man. Or you can't. All right, I'm officially jacked, dude. It looks great.
I'm psyched. I'm fucking psyched. Like,
it looks great. I'm really excited.
And they're like, I think we're gonna get the jump that I was like they're. I mean, I think the books are talking about the last battle pretty early too, but they seem to be real. Like the last battle's coming. And we need to prepare for it. Like, this is definitely Wraith can't rush it too much, but he's got
to. We don't have 10 years to prepare for this. We've got to do this as fast as we can. It could be here tomorrow.
Yeah. If I have to wrap it up in a 6-episode season 4, I can. or if you give me 2 more seasons, we can have some fun.
This is as excited I've been about the show since before it came out. And, you know, like, I'm really, Jeremy's really in the back of my head and a lot of other people, like even the White Cloaks guys that we talk to, a lot of things just keep, well, what about this, you know, and then this and stuff like that. But it's like, everything I'm seeing, it's like, I'm seeing glimpses of things that is from the book and, or will be things that are plot devices to bring things together. And unless it's done terribly, I think it's going to be good.
I think it's going to be good. It's certainly much better, I think, than season two. Like I said, I'm really excited to see. I want to start watching the fan edit too, because he was like, I'm really excited about
it. Yeah.
People watch it. So, and obviously him coming on more than once.
Oh,
says to me that because, you know, the time difference and everything, it was a hard time getting him to link up with us. So
yeah,
for him to possibly be there 2 weeks in a row, that's, you know, it says to me how he's excited about third season and the fan edit. So yeah, I'm pretty stoked too.
So we're going to watch the first half of season two fan edit and some other stuff too. We're just basically going to start. We're going to watch the first half of season two, however you guys want to prepare out there. Do that. We're going to talk about that next week, hopefully with the editor here. I'll triple check and I'll keep everyone posted that he is going to be here. He will definitely be here in the next couple of weeks, unless his schedule goes really sideways. Like Justin said, he seems to be really excited to talk about his edit and prep for season three. So it's on, and I'm wow. I'm psyched. Jeremy, I'm going to take I can get to your house by midnight. I'm going to take a steaming pile of dump on your front porch.
God, if that could happen. Be so great. Well, Dez, I'm gonna go deal with the rest of this night. Should be
Do you want me to end our stream? We can stay on and talk for a minute.
Yeah, sure.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
And this is where the hilarious outtake would appear.